Well, we learned the three opinions on Vav Amud Beis among the Tanoim about Shara. The first Tanoim, Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Lili, says it's forbidden. Asul of Tzoya means if they come to the Dayanim for a Dintara, Asul of Tzoya. He himself says that Aaron HaKoyin used to always recommend Shara because they didn't come to Aaron for a Dintara, they went to Moshe Rabbeinu. An outsider can recommend the Shara, but the Dayanim are forbidden to recommend it. And it's a Menayit. It's blasphemy because it demonstrates as if the Dayan feels that the laws of the Torah are not just and they're not fair. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin it's permissible, and we even paskin more than that. We paskin mitzvah of tzoy. And mitzvah means that the mitzvah lememrulah, who is the top line on Zayin and Manal, if you offer them the option. There is a point after which the Tanoim agree that it's even the Tanoim who say that it's muto, mitzvah of tzoya, there is a point after which all the Tanoim say that it's asal of tzoya. So when is that point? So that's a further machlokes ha-Tanoim. So one time is of the opinion that after haskolas ha-din, it's asal lahatziya pshor. What constitutes haskolas ha-din? So on Masechah Shabbos, in the first parak, there is a Mishnah that lists off all the things that you're not allowed to do in the afternoon if you didn't daven mincha yet. You're not allowed to take a haircut in the afternoon. Because years ago, it used to take forever to take a haircut. Except today, it doesn't take so long. Today, if you go in 2 o'clock for a haircut, it's not shy, you're not going to be finished by 5:30. Unless you're waiting on life. It's a different story. But if you start already the haircut, it's not going to take so long. So nonetheless, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Since in the days of the Tanaim, it took forever, so they made exam of the Rabbanah that you're not allowed to take a haircut. You're not allowed to take a shower if you didn't daven mincha. So what do you do on Erev Shabbos? So the Gro always used to daven mincha before he took a shower. You're not allowed to take a shower in the afternoon. You should give zman mincha if you didn't daven mincha yet. You're not allowed to eat a meal. So the Gdolus, the Ktana, various dinim there. One of the dinim is you're not allowed to start a din Torah if you didn't daven mincha yet. Because even though the din Torah seems like it's going to be 1, 2, 3, it's going to take 5 minutes. You can never tell them they get involved in a long tupel and they take forever. So you're not permitted to start it in Turks. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says, Im hischilu ein masikin. If the fellow started his bath, and they started the haircut, and they started the dentera, and whatever it is that they started, to go into the burski is not allowed to start to treat the hides. So if you start it, so you're not mechuyev to be mastik in the middle. If there's mastik zman in the day, if there's enough time in the day, so let's say it's five to six, shkia at 6 o'clock, and he didn't have mechuyev, and it's his turn, they start giving a haircut. What do you mean? So of course he has to be mastik. He's not going to daven mincha. But if there's plenty of time, it's 2 o'clock, and he's not supposed to take a haircut, and he went to the barber shop and he forgot all about it. And then in the middle of the haircut, somebody said, hey, did you daven mincha yet? He says, no. So then the din is a mitzvah. So what's the definition of his haskolas hadin Torah over there? The definition of haskolas hadin Torah doesn't have to correspond to what's called haskolas hadin Torah over here. There, it's not just a din that a din Torah is prohibited. A bath is prohibited, and a haircut is prohibited. A whole list of things are prohibited. So if you already started a mikvah haskola, so the Gemara says once the dayanim put on atifas hadayanim. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that the Dayanim, out of respect for the Shechina, because we assume, the Gemara says on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis, V'yiyu ha-Dayanim b'yoydim ismi heim donim ulefnei mi heim donim. The Dayanim have to have in mind that they're being done in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Elokim nitzav b'adas kel, that the Shechina is there. So out of respect for the Shechina, which is there, if the An is Dayanim, out of respect for the Shechina, so the Dayanim are supposed to have a tifa. Either they wear a talus over the head if it's right after davening and they're wearing a talus, or if they're not wearing a talus, so then the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Shalot that they should wear a hat. He quotes the Shalot's Lashon, you should wear a hat like we do when we daven Minchei Ma'ariv. Obviously when he daven Shacharis, he wore the talus over his head, didn't wear a hat. When he daven Minchei Ma'ariv, then he used to wear a hat. So he says, you need a tifa, the Shalot writes, you need a tifa, the Dayanim are supposed to have a tifa, out of Kovar Ashkina. So the Gemara says, if the Dayanim already began his chilah, they began the din Torah by doing the atifa, no one even started presenting any arguments yet. That's enough of Ascholah. And if the guy started taking the shower, what did he do? He starts to get undressed. He didn't really start to shower. He starts to get undressed. It's already his chilah mafsik. So that's the definition of Haschalas Adin Torah there in Masech Shabbos in the first parak. But over here, the Tanoim have to have a rigorous definition of Haschalas Adin Torah. According to the Tanoim, who say that there's a point after which that everybody agrees that it's forbidden to recommend a pshara, to suggest a pshara. So what's the definition of Haschalas Adin Torah? So the Tanoim say there's another din in the Chumash. The din is Lo Sagura Mipnei Yish, that the dayan in the middle of a din Torah is not allowed to walk away from the whole case and say, hey, I see I'm going to get myself into big trouble over here. If this rich guy's going to lose the din Torah, it's going to be very bad for my career. He controls all the money in the community and he's never going to let me get ahead. I'll never be able to advance. Or he's afraid that he's going to take the comet. He sees one of the baladinim is a tough meshugana, and if I'm going to paskin against him, he's going to take the comet from me. So there's a pasuk in Chumash, Lo Sagur Mipnei Yish. What happens if the people come to a din Torah and I see before I even begin that I'm dealing with a meshugana? So I can say, I have no time, sorry. I have no time to take care of your din Torah. The din of Lo Sagur Mipnei Yish only applies after Haskolas Adin Torah. So what's the definition of Haskolas Adin Torah? So the Gemara says, if you are ready, that's how the Gemara has on the first very wide line on Vavim Beis. You have narrow lines and wider lines and very wide lines. On the most wide lines, it says, "Shnam shibol afanachal adin," the first and the second lines. Echad rach veechad kosh atshla tishma divrei. If you didn't hear the case yet. You have no notion at all in which direction the din is going to go. I have no time, I don't want to get involved in this case. Because you're afraid you're going to get into trouble. However, that's the definition of Haskalos Adin Torah. Then the din, the lav of Lasagura Mipneish, that's in. You're not allowed to walk away from the din Torah. So the previous Tana says the same is true regarding Pshara. We allow you, or we recommend to the Dayan that he should offer an option of a Pshara. It's permissible or encouraged to offer an option of a Pshara. That's only before Haskalas Adin Torah. Means they came to him. The Baladinim came to this Dayan. They requested Adin Torah. If they didn't come to request, so then even the Tana who says that it's Asir admits that it's permissible to recommend Adin Torah. We're talking if the Baladinim came and they requested Adin Torah, so we paskin not only permissible, we paskin as a mitzvah to recommend Pshara. That's only before Haskalas Adin Torah, but after Haskalas Adin Torah, when is that? You know the general direction is going to be going in this direction, then the Gemara says that it's forbidden to recommend Pshara. That's what that Tana holds. That you have the same shear. The same shear is with respect to the loisesi of losagur mifneish. In both cases, the din is dependent on haskalas adin Torah. We don't pass like that. We pass like the top line. The top line on Vavam Beis. What is that? A Tosefta? Yeah, that's from the Tosefta. The Tosefta doesn't agree. Maybe when they get the loss of Gurma Pneish, the Tosefta does agree. See, that din is quoted. Mishatishman Devarim Atei Del Hechtanot. The din of loss of Gurma Pneish is quoted in Rama Mishulchan Aruch. That we do paskin like. That's the definition of Haskalas Adin. And after Haskalas Adin Torah, then the din of loss of Gurma Pneish sets in. But we paskin after Haskalas Adin Torah, it's also mutter to recommend the Pshara. Only up until Nigmar Adin. Nigmar Adin, Yata Rashoi Liv Tzoyah. If the Gemara din, you're not allowed to recommend the pshara. So the Gemara says, "Hechi domi nigmar din." Three lines from the bottom. What's the translation of this top line on Amid Beis? Vav Amid Beis. The top line is a quotation from the Tosefta in Sanhedrin. Nigmar din yata rashoi luftsoya. So three lines from the bottom, the Gemara finally gets back to that top line. They say, "Hechi domi nigmar din." So Rabbi Yehuda Amarav says, "Ishploni atachad, ishploni atazakai." So Taisus doesn't understand, what do you mean? The Bezin already gave a psak, and then the case is closed. They already gave a psak, the case is closed, then you're going to discuss making a pshara. Of course you don't make a pshara after they gave a psak. So Taisus says it can't be understood kipshuto, The Tosfos Nigmar Din. What it means is the Otata holding by saying Yishploni Atazak Yishploni Atachai. Not only at the Adel Hechan Adinoita, the general direction, I know which way it's going. Even if I counted up all the figures, I counted up all the money, and I'm just about to say the business up to the very end, and they're about to say Yishploni Atazak Yishploni Atachai. That's the only thing that they're missing. Ena Mechusar Ela, the pronouncement Yishploni Atazak Yishploni Atachai. So even though you didn't give a psak yet, that's not right to make a pshara at that time. Why? So Tosha says that that's really a pshara b'tor. That if the fellow would have known that he's going to win, he would never have agreed. The dayan knows who's about to win. But if the fellow would have known that he's going to win, he perhaps would not have agreed to the pshara. Rashi does not seem to learn like Tosfos that they're about to say Yishploni Atazaka. Is that they already said Nigmar Din Sha'omru? That's how Rashi writes on the top line. Sha'omru Yishploni Atazaka Yishploni Atachai. So this poses a problem. There is a Gemara in Bava Kama that sounds as if it says it's only called the Gemar Din if Bezin says Tzei Tenloi. Up until Tzei Tenloi, you just say Ishplani Atachai, Ishplani Atazakai, that's not yet called the Gemar Din. It's only called the Gemar Din when they say Tzei Tenloi. Why should that be so? That's very strange. Why isn't it sufficient? Have to be so harsh, Tzei Tenloi, go pay him the money. He's an eagle person. He's going to pay the money? He's not a Ghana. It's just he thought that he wasn't chayiv to pay. So he say, the psak is that you're chayiv. That's all. So he's going to pay. Why do you have to be so harsh? Very strange. Why should the Gemara say like that? That's why half of the Rishonim there deny that such a Gemara exists. They reinterpreted the Gemara. The Gemara never said that. Ish ploni atazaka, ish ploni atachayiv is not a Gemara. The Gemara, the other, the Tosfos there in Bava Kama, has two opinions. So one opinion in Tosfos says that ish ploni atazaka is also a Gemara din. But Tzei Tenloi is considered as if Parua already. Since Bezin has the Kerech, I have Hefker, Bezin Hefker, they can take my Gemara, they can take my Rambam and declare that it no longer belongs to me, it rather belongs to somebody else. Even if they didn't do that, they didn't make such a declaration. They just said Tzei Tenloi, so that's considered as if they had already given it to the other person. As if they already gave it to him, and it already belongs to the other person. As if Hashava had been done. So that's what some Rishonim say over there. That the Gemara and Bava Kama never said Yishploni Atazaka, Yishploni Atachayv is not a Gemara Din. They just meant to say that's Taka Gemara Din, but when you get to a certain din there, about Dalai Jahay, you have to have Tzei Tenloi. Tzei Tenloi is not the Gemara Din. Tzei Tenloi is considered as if it's already Parua, and as if the mammon that he's prepared to give to the other party in payment of the debt had already been handed, as if we consider as if the money had already been handed over and it already belongs to the other person. Yeah, but half of the Rishon, half of the Balei HaTosfos do not learn like that. Half of the Balei HaTosfos learn that Ish Ploni Atachayv, Ish Ploni Atazakai is not a Gemara Din. Very strange. Until the Bezin says, Tzei Tenloi. So what do you do with our Gemara? Our Gemara says, Ni Gemara Din Yatav Asher Levtzai, Hech Edomi Gemara Din, Ish Ploni Atazakai. But the answer is along the same lines as what Tosfos said over here. Tosfos said, Ni Gemara Din Yatav Asher Levtzai means Ish Ploni Atachayv. No. They didn't say Yishploni Atachai. The only thing that it's mechusser, the only thing they're missing, the dayan worked out all the details already. In his head, he already knows all the details. He just didn't say a word to the Balei Dinim yet. He's about to say, that's how Tosfos says, he's about to say, Tradiktu Kubidin, Ukumo Gomer Sadin, they're almost up to the Gemara Din, Delo Mechusser Elo, the declaration of Yishploni Atachai. That's how Tosfos read it. Because Tosfos tells Yishploni Atachai is the Gemara Din. The Rashi perhaps understood that it's not called the Gemara Din until you say Tzei Tenloi. So Ishploni Atachayev is you're about to make the Gemara Din. So if you're about to make the Gemara Din, then the Gemara says that it's also Liftsoya. Then it's also Liftsoya. The Gemara was commenting on various psukim here. They keep on talking about that pasuk, because the first Tana says the one who praises a dayan who recommends a pshara, is an act of blasphemy. But say a berech, if you bless the dying, who always recommends pshar niyat Hashem, that's not wrong. That's what the first time I said. The other time I'm saying it's not true. It's permissible and it's recommended that it's encouraged that you should tell the baldin and they should go for pshar. So what do you do with the pasuk b'tzeh berech niyat Hashem? So the Gemara gave a pshat. It goes on Yehuda. It goes on this one. Goes on that one. The Gemara brings up the issue of Aaron HaKoyim. Aaron HaKoyim saw Rachur Bayar Aaron. Aaron saw something and he understood that he better make the egel if he knows what's good for him. What did he see that convinced him that he better make the egel? Raw. He saw in front of his eyes Chur, that was his nephew. No, Chur was Miriam's son. Shezavuach Lefanov. The Bnei Yisrael had killed Chur because he wasn't in agreement to go along with the act of Avodah Zarah. So Aaron was afraid if he's going to refuse to participate in the Avodah Zarah with them, they're going to kill him also. So what will be if they'll kill him? So because nefesh is doich asiyas avodah zarah. The din is that there are gimel averes achamuras. There's avodah zarah, gilui arayis, and shvichas damim. The three averes that you're not permitted to violate, even the makom pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is doich yom kippur, is doich shabbos, and doich chametz bepesach, and doich macholas asuras. If you have no choice, if you have to violate the isur torah for the sake of pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to violate. But you're not permitted to violate avodah zarah, gilui arayis, and shvichas damim. For the sake of pikuach nefesh. What if it's for the sake of hatzolas klal Yisrael? Does it make a difference? Hatzolas klal Yisrael. So the achreinim in the end of Ebenezer, the last simon in Ebenezer, has all the laws of seita asur labayla. So the Beishmuel on the side of the Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer, the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, quotes from the Maharik, who poses a question. That the Gemara later in Sanhedrin in the sugya of Yehoshua bar Yavar on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis raises a question when Ahasuerus sent out the messengers to gather together all of the good-looking girls in his kingdom and he wanted to take himself a wife. So the Gemara raises a question: why did Esther go along and they picked Esther, and she married Ahasuerus? She was living with Ahasuerus. So the Gemara asks the question: she should have been Moisa Nefesh. It's an avera to live with a nochri. So why? And an avera b'farhesia. Not only did he say harik bal yavran the gimel averas achamuras and shara isurim, if they're violated b'farhesia, you also say harik bal yavran. So the Gemara says, "Vesta farhesia havoi." All the people knew. All the Jewish people knew that she was a Jewish girl living with the goyish king. So that should be harik bal yavran. Shara averas b'farhesia. The Gemara explains why it's not harik bal yavran. But the whole question and answer the Gemara gives is that even though the government representative was pressuring Esther to come marry the king, to come live with the king, she should have resisted the pressure, she should have given up her life. So the Gemara explains why she wasn't obligated to give up her life. But then it came a certain point and she decides she's going to go coochie coo the king and she's going to get him to save the Jewish people. So how is she allowed it? She initiated later on this news. And then she says, Kasha avadati avadati. She says, and now I'm going to be Asura al Baili. Because the Gemara has a tradition that Mordechai was married to Esther. She was really an Eishes Ish. And he was afraid to give her a get, Tosfos says, because the Edi Hasimu will be Motzi the Kol. So and on this occasion, so the first couple of months, whatever it was that she was living with Ahasuerus, so she didn't become Asura al Baila. Because it was an Eshesish, she was into B'Oinus. She was pressured into it, she had no choice. She was afraid they were going to kill her. She's going to say no. But on this occasion when she decided she's going to go into the king and make love to him, and then get him in a happy mood, and then get him to agree to break the Gzeira against the Bnei Yisrael, so the Achronim asked Kakasha, what was the heter over there? She's not allowed to initiate the Gilead, right? She was an Eshesish. And with Shari Surim, forget about Eshesish, even if you hold that to Nagarata, and our Gemara doesn't accept. That's how the Balamor says. The Rishonim all ask a question. Why did Gemara only raise a question? Esther Farhesi Avoy. The Rishara Averis Befarhesi. She was a Jewish girl living with a Nochri, which is an Avere. It's not Gilead Rice, but it's an Avere Befarhesi. Gemara should have asked Akasha that Esther was an Eshesish. So Tosfos has the long Arichas, the two opinions in the famous Tosfos. And I endowed them in a bit. So the Balamor gives an answer that agarata doesn't necessarily have to be so. Not everybody agrees. Maybe it is Gemara, and Dalar and Beis doesn't hold from that agarata. Maybe they think she wasn't married. But in that Gemara, the Gemara says that she was married, and she went in knowingly that she's going to violate Eishes Ish, and she knows now she's going to be Asura al Baila, because it's going to be an Eishes Ish Azin Sabiratzen. That's what it says there in that Gemara. So an Eishes Ish Azin Sabiratzen. So what's the heter to do it? What's the heter to do it? It's Gilui Arayis. So the answer is she wants to save the lives of all the Jews. Yeah, but Pikuach Nefesh is not Dechi Gilui Arayis. So the Beis Shmuel on the last Simon and Eben Ezra quotes the Maharik, who says that the Pikuach Nefesh of an individual or a group of individuals, even a large group of individuals, more than a million, more than 10 people, that's only called individuals. So Pikuach Nefesh of Yochid or Yechidim is not Dechi Gilui Arayis. But Hatzolas Klal Yisrael is Dechi Gilui Arayis. And she felt that this, by her breaking the Gzeira, it's considered as if she's saving all of Klal Yisrael. So therefore she's permitted to violate Gilui Arayis. So that's the question over here also on Zayin Amud Aleph. Aaron HaKohen only agreed to make the Avodah Zarah. He didn't actually worship Avodah Zarah. He only made Avodah Zarah. So that's already a question. When you say that on Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis and Shlichas Zamen as Yehorg Vayavar, is it only on the actual act of Avodah Zarah, worshipping Avodah Zarah? Or the actual act of Gilui Arayis, or the actual act of Shvichas Domin? What about Yichud with an Eishes Ish? Yichud with an Eishes Ish. You also say Yehorg Vayavar. What about getting Hanoah from Avodah Zarah? Let's say someone is running away from the Nazis, and the only way to save his life is to go on a rowboat to cross the river, and the rowboat happens to be worshipped by the Yogdei Avodah Zarah in town. They think that they have deified this rowboat, and if he's going to row the boat across the river to save his life, they'll say that he's getting Hanoah from the thing that tells him Hanoah. But he's not worshipping Avodah Zarah. So do you say Yehorg Vayavar only on the actual act of Avodah Zarah, the actual act of Gilui Arayis, the actual act of Shvichas Domim? Or do you even say it on all the Yisurim that are related to the Gimel Averus Achmor? That's called Abizrayu, the related Yisurim, Yichud of Arayis, or manufacturing Avodah Zarah, are getting Hanoah from Avodah Zarah. So that's a big machlokes in Rishonim. And a Stephen Shulchan Aruch. The Shach points out there's a contradiction in Shulchan Aruch between two simonim. Kufnun Zayin has all the dinim of Yehorg Vayavar, and second Chelik Yeridei, and Kufnun Hay has some of the dinim. So if you look in Kufnun Hay, Kufnun Zayin, it's just two pages apart, there's a contradiction in the text of the Shulchan Aruch with respect to this issue. Whether Yehorg Vayavar only applies to the actual act of Avodah Zarah itself, or even applies to the Avodah Zarah. The same shot, let's say, the Shvichas Domin. Shvichas Domin means you murder somebody. Then there's a Gemara in Perek HaZohar in Bava Metzia that if somebody humiliates somebody else and his rosy complexion leaves him and he turns pale, so in a certain sense that's an Abizrayu of Shvichas Domin. Because the blood is not circulating normally in his body. Shvichas Domin means letting up blood. If you nick someone's finger and he bleeds a little bit, That's not Shvichas Domin. But the Gemara considers humiliation of another person as an Abizrayu of Shvichas Domin. So the Rabbi Yonah in the Shari Tshuva writes that he say Yehorg Vayavar on humiliation, because the Gemara says also in the first parak in Saita, Gemara says in Saita that it's preferable that a person should give up his life to jump into a Kibshan Ha'esh rather than cause someone to be humiliated. And this is derived from the Chumash, from the story of Toma with Yehuda, that she was prepared to let them burn her. Yehuda said, Hotziyo v'sisareif, and she didn't want to say that she was pregnant from him. She just said, Himutseis, when they were taking her out to burn her, to kill her. So she said, L'isha she'ela lo, anochi haro. I'm pregnant to the one who is the owner of the matan, the psilim, and so on. So she could have said, I'm pregnant from Yehuda. She didn't say that. She wanted him to say it. And if he wouldn't have said it, she would have given up her life. So the Gemara understands from the Pasuk that it's preferable to give up your life rather than to cause humiliation to someone. So Tosfos asked the Kasha in that Gemara Saita on the first Perek, the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Adafayin Dalit lists off the cases where you say, Yehorg Vayavar. So the Gemara only has three cases, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, and Shvichas Domin. How come the Gemara doesn't list off this fourth case? is case of here. So Tosfos in Sota Daf Yud Amud Beis. Rabbi Akiva Eger, and I in Dalet Amud Aleph refers you to that Tosfos. Tosfos Daf Yud Amud Beis. Di Mamas Chol Noach LaLodim Shiap Lachmo Etech Kibshan Eish Val Yalbim Tenei Chaver Barab. So that's the Tosfos Di Mamas Chol Noach LaLodim. So Tosfos is bothered with the Kasha. How come here in Sanhedrin, when it lists off the cases of Yored Val Yalbim, there are only three cases, and it doesn't mention that case of Malbim Tenei Chaver Barab. So some say that's an agadah. It's not to be taken literally. It's not a halacha. This Gemara is saying a halacha, and that's agadah. Tosfos gives a different answer. Tosfos understands every agadah is to be taken literally. Tosfos understands every agadah is halacha. They don't think that it's just poetic license. So Tosfos says that you're not allowed to humiliate someone, even if it means you have to give up your life. That's explicit in the Chumash. That's what it says in the story of Tom and Yehuda. So the Gemara here on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph doesn't have to say that the rabbis had a conference and they decided in Yericho. How does it say? They met together in Lud. They met together in the city Lud, and they came to the conclusion. They didn't have to come to any conclusion about humiliation of someone else. That's a beferish pas in the Chumash. But the Zohar Gerashi Chazdam, that's not beferish anywhere in the Chumash. So that they had to come to the conclusion. That they had to have a committee discuss it. And come to the conclusion that even on these three additional averes, you also say Yehori Glayav. But on Mal Pnei Chaver Baram, that's Mufurish in the Pasuk, so that's why the Gemara didn't have to mention it. And the Rabbeinu Yoni gives a different answer. Rabbeinu Yoni, Shari Tshuva says that the Gemara lists off the three cases Yehori Glayav, but one of them is Shvichas Domim. So the reason why Mal Pnei Chaver Baram in Meso Chomer that you say Yehori Glayav is because the Gemara explains in Perek Azov that the blood circulation doesn't function normally when the person is humiliated and his face turns white. So that's an abiz rayu of shvichas damim. So, and he's of the opinion, the Rabbeinu Yoni is of the opinion, like those rishonim, like the Balamor on Daf Ayin Dalet and other rishonim, that not only do you say Yehorg Val Yavar on the Gimel Averus Achamuris themselves, even on any Yisr, even on Yichud, and even on making an Avodah Zarah, manufacturing an Avodah Zarah, or getting pleasure from an Avodah Zarah, the Averis that are Abizrahus of the Gimel Averis Achmos, the Yisurim that are related to the Gimel Averis, are also Yehorig Vayam. So getting back again, here there is the Gemara says that, the Gemara says on 8 lines from the top of Zayin Amanal, that pasuk is referring to Aaron's participation in the Chet Egel, that Aaron agreed to make the Egel for them because he was afraid they were going to kill him. So that pasuk refers to Aaron. Which pasuk? The pasuk that's condemning somebody or the pasuk that's blessing someone? We already lost track. They quoted somebody took him here. So it's unclear which pasuk mikra zeh, le'nema mikra zeh ela. There were 25 psukim until now. So which mikra? The Rashi says mikra zeh betzeh bechniyat Hashem. The pasuk is condemning Aharon. That the din was it should have been Yehorig Val Yavar. You're supposed to give up your life in order not to worship Avodah Zarah. They should have not made the Egel, even though he sees Vayara Haran, he sees that they just murdered Chur, and he's going to be next. If he's not going to go along with the Kohol, he's going to be next. The Rashi understands the Gemara that still he did wrong, and the pasuk that says, Botzei Berech, Niyat Hashem, whoever praises the one who makes a compromise, that's referring to Aaron. Aaron made a compromise. He didn't tell the people right out, you're not allowed to do Avodah Zarah, and I'm prepared to give up my life. He didn't say that. He didn't take such a courageous stand. He went along and made the Avodah Zarah. He led them to worship the Avodah Zarah. He personally didn't worship Avodah Zarah, but he prepared the way for the Bnei Yisrael to sin with the Chet HaEgel. So Rashi says that compromise that he made in order to save his life was wrong, and the Pasuk is condemning Aharon. The Pasuk is condemning anyone who praises Aharon. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says, no, we're talking about the other Pasuk. The pasuk that praises Aaron HaKohen, that he did right, that he got so many people to be Shomri Torah Mitzvahs, that Aaron made a cheshvin that if they're going to kill me, mihorg migdash Hashem Kohen v'Novi, so then they won't have any lohavi luhu takanta li'olam. They'll never be able to do tshuva. Mutav delev dele egel, better they should worship Avodah Zarah, worship the egel. So that after the havi lutakanta b'tshuva, they'll be able to do tshuva. But if they'll kill me, im harb migdash Hashem koyin v'navi, Aaron makes a cheshbon. If they'll bnei Yisrael will kill me because I won't go along with them. And the Avodah Zarah, like they killed Chur, so Chur wasn't a koyin v'navi, but I'm a koyin v'navi. So if they'll kill me, they'll never be able to do tshuva. So Tosfos learns in the Gemara that the cheshbon of Aaron was correct. it's like that Maharik, that for the purpose of Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, you're permitted to violate Gilei Arayis. The Tosfos says for the purpose of Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, to enable them to do tshuva. It's also Hatzolas Klal Yisrael. It's not physical Hatzolas, spiritual Hatzolas. They'll never be able to do tshuva otherwise. So that's Hatzolas Klal Yisrael. So you're allowed to violate Avodah Zarah. An interesting twist the way Tosfos learns. Or it could be that Tosfos learns the Gemara, not dafke for Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, you're allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. It could be. To worship Avodah Zarah is never mutter. Maybe it's never mutter, even for Hatzolas Klal Yisrael. Or maybe it is mutter, but this is not called Hatzolas Klal Yisrael. Maybe Hatzolas Klal Yisrael means physical. If there's physical danger to Klal Yisrael. Maybe what Tosfos meant to say over here was that because Nefesh is doche other Isurim of Avodah Zarah, because Nefesh is not doche actual worshipping Avodah Zarah. But here, Aaron HaKohen never worshipped the Avodah Zarah. He just manufactured, he made the eagle for them. And they worship David Zor. So that's the issue of Abizrayu. You say you heard by Yavar and Abizrayu. So it could be that that's what Tosfos is driving at. They're making an egel. Making an egel. Making an Avodah Zarah is not considered on the same level as Avodah Zarah. So you wouldn't say you heard by Yavar. If you're allowed to do tshuva. Shabbos is supposed to be as man that's mesugel for tshuva. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can understand it. Yeah. I mean, the Aver was done before Hesyon. Could be. The Aver was done before Hesyon. So again, you'll have to, the only heter will be for Hatzolas Klal Yisrael. You have to say again, like the Marik. Could well be. There's a further argument between the Baal HaMo'or, Rabbi Nizrachi Alev and the Ramban, and Afayin Dalit, which is recorded in Yerudei, in Simon Kuf and Zayin. On the assumption that you say you heard by Yavah not only on the actual Gimel Averis HaChamuris themselves, but even on all Abizrai, even related Isurim, so would you say that if Ne'iver of Avodah Zarah is a related Isur? Or do you say no? If Ne'iver of Avodah Zarah is the same as if Ne'iver on ham, if I feed ham to someone, the same as if Ne'iver feeding. Giving shatnas to someone to wear clothing of shatnas, the same as giving wine to another. All the lifnivas are the same. There aren't chomadika lifnivas and kuladika lifnivas. Lifnivas is lifniva. It's not an abizrai. Lifniva doesn't blend in to become part of that isus. So lifniva are feeding chela v'dam, which has kares, would be more chomad than a lifniva of just giving chazah, which is only alav. No, lifniva of avodah zarah is the same as lifniva of shatnas. It's all the same thing. So that's a machlokes. The Baal HaMor on Daf Ayin Gimel, Ayin Dalet, the Baal HaMor assumed that Lifnivir is also an Abizrayu. Lifnivir of any given Avera relates to that Avera. And the Shulchan Aruch accepts the opinion of the Ramban. That even if one should say that there is a din of Yehar Gvayavah, even an Abizrayus, so the Ramah says, but Lifnivir of Avodah Zarah is not considered the Abizrahu of Avodah Zarah. If Ne'iver is a universal good. There's such a big dispute regarding Chatzishir, Osman Atar. We paskin Chatzishir, Machlekes Abyechon Mishlokish, but the Chatzishir is an Issa Derais and Issa Rabban. So we paskin Abyechon, Chatzishir is an Issa Derais. So let's say there's a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakone, and he has to eat some non kosher food, and the doctors give him an option. He can either eat a Chatzishir of this or a Chatzishir of this. Either Chatzishir, and one is Chelev, which has an Issa Kares, if he would have eaten a Kishir, and one is Chazir, which is only an Issa Lav, doesn't have an Issa Kares. So would you say that a Chatzishir of Chelev is more Chomer than a Chatzishir of Chazir, of Behemoth Meyo? But he's saying, no, Chatzishir is Chatzishir, it's all the same thing, it's all Shem Mechor. That's a big machlekes in Achrenim. Right, did he get to that din about Kala Kalpsila? that the person can save his life by only eating Chatzishir as opposed to Shir Shalom, let him do so. Because Chatzishir is also Menatzer without a punishment, and the Shir Shalom is also Menatzer with a punishment. But what if he has two Chatzishir? He has a Chatzishir of Chela and a Chatzishir of Nevela. So the Mishnah Melech is not sure whether you should consider Chatzishir a universal Yisur. He's never allowed to do a Chatzishir of whatever, whenever, wherever, whatever. But he's saying, no, Chatzishir of Chelev is a Mikzah Sisur of Chelev, which is more harm than a Chatzishir of Chazir, which is a Nisir Kal, in contrast to the... So that's such a shadow, that's the Machlokes here, the Balamon, the Rambam. So that's the question over here, when Rashi and Tosfos argue whether the Gemara is praising Aharon or condemning Aharon, which Pasuk are they quoting? Rashi says they're condemning Aharon, that he did wrong. He should have given up his life in order not to worship, in order not to make the egel, in order not to make the egel. And Tosfos says, for Karet, the Gemara is praising Aharon that he did right. So that's the question, did he do right, did he not do right? What's this story?
Do you have to say it with
Nira's
not his right, or can you say it actually just like I was in the Chakir of Chatzishir, we're saying that Chatzishir is like so, in the
community,
is it like
doing Abizrayim,
or is it only like an
Abizrayim? I mean, it could be more Chomer than Abizrayim. We paskin that it's not even Abizrayim. The Ramah paskin is like the Melchamis. The Ramah Melchamis is not even Abizrayim. And the Balam, one could say in the Balamah that it's more Chomer than Abizrayim. Since I'm Machshel him, so it's considered as if I actually did the Yisra. Could be. I don't know. Possibility. That's the question. Let's say a person is the sakana, and the only way to avoid the sakana is to violate yichud. If an eshes
speak behind the person,
So the Balamor understands that gemara with medina, right? That gemara. So he understands that's medina. And that shows that he's saying Hard Val Yav and Abizrayim. The problem is on the Balamor though, but the Gemara says on the last line, who was this girl that he was so crazy about? So one opinion was she was an Eish Kish, one opinion was no, she was single. So the Gemara asked the Gaval, but she was single. So what's the problem? It's you're not dealing with Arayat. The Gemara says it was a Harua Shol and Migdamus, and today Shalahu Ben Eish Yisrael preaches Arayat. So once you get to the last line, so the last line says if, according to the opinion that she was single, it was only her Rosh Hashanah, the Migdal Milsa. It wasn't really Medina. So maybe the whole build-up till the last line was also just her Rosh Hashanah. The Balmor says, no, that's only the last line was her Rosh Hashanah. But the whole build-up until that was Medina. And others disagree. They say, no, the whole thing was all her Rosh Hashanah. So that's the question, can you really tell anything? That's the Gemara, Ayin Hamer Aleph, that story. The fella went, he was going crazy about a girl. So the Gemara said, Bishleim, if she was an Eshish, then we understand. But if you say she was a Pnuya, what's the problem? So they should lay Huban, I saw Prutus Barai. Tosfos over here raises an issue on Zayin Amud Aleph, an issue for the Bezin Shamayla. When you go to heaven, when one goes to heaven and they're judging you, so what is the first question that they're going to, what's the first issue they're going to raise? What's the difference? We don't know. What's the difference? We don't know. But the Gemara talks about it. So there's a contradiction between two Gemaras. So the Gemara, Masechah Shabbos Lamed Aleph, lists off the six questions that they ask every person. And the first question they ask is Nasasam Nasata Be'emuna, question mark. When you dealt in business, did you deal in business honestly or did you cheat in business? I was recently at a wedding, so Balamos was talking to me. So he was wasn't someone from Yeshiva. So he was he said, Rabbi, tell me which mitzvahs does the Torah promise Arichas Yamin? So I started telling him right away, Yekibud Aviyim. And Shiloh HaKan, so he says, how come all the rabbis are yes, that's all they remember? What about the other psukim? I said, I don't remember. He says, you don't remember. It says, honesty in business. How come the rabbis don't talk about this? Terrible. He says, the rabbis only remember the Agadah in the Gemara about the child who listened to the father. and he did kibbutz and he did shiloh hakan, and then he got killed. And then he fell down and he got killed. What about honesty in business? You have to preach honesty in business. So the Gemara Shabbos says that that's the first question they ask when you go to Olam Ha'emes. They're going to ask you, Nasasam Nasata Be'emuna. And the second question is going to be whether you learn Torah. It means dealing honestly in business is has quite a priority, most important. Our Gemara claims, based on a different pasuk, the first white line on Zainam and Aleph, the first question they judge you, first question they ask in the Olam Ha'emes is whether you learn Torah or not. That's a contradiction, it's a problem. So the different Rishonim have different suggestions. Different Rishonim have different suggestions. How do you answer this apparent contradiction? So there's a famous suggestion from the Rebbe Rav Shmelke that's so good, so it's been attributed to Misnagdim and Tachsidim. Everybody claims this suggestion. That if you look in the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara has one memory after the other. The first memory is the same Amora, has two memories, one after the other, on the same Daf. And the first memory, he lists off the six questions that they ask when one goes to the Olam Ha'emes. And the next memory is commenting on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, "Hayo emunas hitecha chesin yeshuas chachmas vadas yiras Hashem hi yotzorei." That pasuk in Yeshayahu is an allusion to the six units in Mishnayos. Emunas hitecha chesin yeshuas chachmas vadas are the shishis in the Mishnah. Emunas is roim, hitecha is moed, hitecha is manim, chesin is nashim, chesin yeshuas, yeshuas is zikim. Chachma v'das is kachim and tav. Then the pasuk concludes, Yiras Hashem v'yotzor. If the person wants to be able to have a base oitzer, that his mind should be a clay kibul to absorb all of this learning, so he has to be a Yirei Shamayim. To the extent that he's going to be lacking in Yirei Shamayim, to that extent he will not be able to, he won't have a base oitzer to retain all of this learning. If a person is not a Yirei Shamayim, won't be so much clear and learned. That's how the Gemara Shabbos interprets that pasuk. So, several Gedolim suggested that these two members by the same Amor, one after the other, are saying the same thing. The first six questions they ask you were, did you learn Zroim, Moed, Noshim, Zik, and Kach, and Taras? So they ask, Nasasim, Nasata, Be'emuna. Emuna means Zroim, Hoya, Emunas. Then they ask, Kobayte, Itim, La Torah, Itecha. That's the second phrase in the pasuk, Hoya, Emunas, Itecha. Then Asakta the Piri Berivi doesn't mean did you have children or did you read Shiduchim. Asakta the Piri Berivi means did you learn we are Isaac in Nashim. Sipisili Yeshua. Sipisili Yeshua doesn't mean were you hoping all the time for the imminent coming of Mashiach. Yeshua means Nezikin. Did you learn Nezikin? The Palta B'Chachma here, Beis Adas, so that's Chachma Vadas, that's Kachim and Taras. The six questions that they ask in the other man, did you learn Zirayimai, Dashim, Zikin, Kachin, Tav. That's what some of the Gedolim suggest, and it's such a good verse that they printed it on the side of the Ein Yankiv. On the Ein Yankiv, on Masech Shabbos, on Daf Lamed Aleph. So they printed it on the side, and they attribute it to one of the Gedolim. But in different Svarim, they attribute it to different Gedolim. One amongst them is the Rebbe Rav Shmelke. The Rebbe Rav Shmelke from Nikolsburg was the brother of the Hafluah. They were both Chassidishim, but the Hafluah, he needed a parnassus, he needed a job, so they offered him a Rabbanus in Frankfurt, so he went to Frankfurt. The Rebbe Rav Shmelke stayed behind, he became a Chassidish Rebbe in Nikolsburg. Gemara talks about a dying who's don din emes lamito. It's an awkward expression. It says on the side, the expression appears in Shabbos Daf Yud. Ein Taisus Shabbos Daf Yud Amen Aleph. Taisus Shtelzach Hanis Loshen. Hadon Din Emes Lamito. What do you mean? Hadon Din Lamito. Hadon Din Emes. What do you mean? Hadon Din Emes Lamito. It's Emes Lamito. It's the same thing. It's redundant. So Taisus says, not redundant. Hadon Din Emes means, I hear the case, and he presents his taina, and I say, I know Choshe Mishpon, I say, according to what it says in the book, this is the din, and he claims like this, and he claims like this. So he's a mother of a mikzah, he swears the shua derai, he says, he just says what the din is. That's Adon Din Emes. He knows what it says in din, and he relates the din to this case properly. Adon Din Emes Lamita means that he digs below the surface, and he tries to catch the truth. Who's really telling the truth, and who's telling a lie over here? Not just he goes according to the books and shuns. So that's what the Gemara said. That's a higher madriga. Adon the Rem Islamita. That's really gevaldik. He will bring Hashuras Hashchina be Yisrael. That's the Loshon HaGemara. He'll be Mashur Shchina. And Adayin is not Don Dinam Islamita. The Gemara is saying Shetishtalek me Yisrael. The Shchina will run away. It's an interesting concept. The Gemara Shabbos Daf Yud comments about that. The Mao Detema, one might have thought that when you make a Din Torah, it's only Shlomo Ba'alma. You're only accomplishing to keep law and order. So Kamash Malan, no. When a Dayan is done, a Din Torah, it's more than Shlomo Ba'alma. Is Mashur Shechina be Israel? He causes the Shechina to come down. So the Avnei Nezer has his long tshuva that the Sheish Ma'alus Lakisa, that Yerusha and the Rabbanus, long tshuva in Chelik Yerudeya, that Hilchus to Talmid HaChacham and Talmud Torah. He has a long tshuva, part of that goes on pages and pages, keeps on going on and on. So part of that tshuva, he discusses briefly, in one paragraph, he discusses basically the difference between Dinim of Bnei Noach and Dinim of Yisrael. Dinim of Bnei Noach is just for the purpose of maintaining law and order, that the world shouldn't collapse. And Dinim of Yisrael, when we have a Din Torah, it's more than that. It's in order to be Mashu Shechina be Yisrael. It's not only Shlomo B'Almo, that's how the Gemara says, Mada Tema, Din Torah is only Shlomo B'Almo. Kamash Malon, no, Hadon Direm Islam Mitoi is Mashu Shechina be Yisrael. It causes the Shechina to rest upon the Bnei Yisrael. I don't think so. No, Shore is also a din. Shore is also a din. It's also Mashur Shechina of Israel. Also Lamita. Yeah. You shouldn't be. That's what the Torah says. The Yisrael of Lasata Mishpat, Atayis Mishpat applies to Shore also. Like the Yisrael Shechad applies to Shore. If the Dayanim know that Yosha really dictates like this, but we're going to be in hot water. We're going to be in big trouble if we're going to say what Yosha dictates. Because he's going to take the common, so they encourage pshar, and then they make whatever kakai pshar they want. So the Torah says that's a violation of Hatoras Mishpat. You have to be don dinam islamit on a pshar also. It has to be really alibidemis. You have to put a lot of concentration into the pshar to try to figure out what does Yosha really dictate. So the Gemara emphasizes the seriousness of a din Torah, that the person should realize that he's judging in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Gemara says five lines from the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph, if a Dayan takes money from one and gives it to the other, is a violation of Al Tigzol Dal Ki Dal Hu. Robin Hood steals from the rich and he gives to the poor, says, is that Gzela? Is that Gzela? Is there an Issa Gzela over there? Maybe one would argue the point to think that Gzela is when you steal and you keep it for yourself. But if you steal from the rich and you give to the poor, maybe it's not Gzela. So the Gemara says, no, it's also Gzela. If you know it's only Zeb, know it's only Zeb. It doesn't matter whether it ends up in my pocket or someone else's pocket. If I took the money improperly from one person, so that's a violation of Gzela. It does mean that Robin Hood was wrong. Maybe Robin Hood was right. There is a Dina Kaifan Allah Tzedoka. That's another thing. If the rich people are not giving enough charity, the Bezna has a right to be Kaif Allah Tzedakah, to force people. That's like more in the first parak in Bava Basra. The Kaif Allah Tzedakah. Years ago, way before Hakamas HaMedina, I think in the 1920s or the 1930s, so in Eretz Yisrael, there were certain kibbutzim and certain companies where originally they only had Jewish workers, and the Jews insisted that they should only take Avodah Ivrit, they shouldn't have Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah didn't bother them. But they didn't want there should be Arabs working Avodah Zarah. They wanted only Avodah Ivrit. So the Shaila was on Shabbos, you have to have Goyim milking the cows in a farm. Okay, the Jews are not allowed, that's where there was a whole problem. Because in these kibbutzim, a lot of them, they were not religious at all, so they didn't care at all for Shabbos. So they posed the problem, what are they going to do? So the Rabbanim said a simple solution, ask a goy to milk the cows, because it's Tzav Balechai. The Bein has pain if you don't milk, if you don't take out the milk. So the Makom Tzav Balechai says in Shulchan Aruch, he permitted to do Amir and Ochr. So that they didn't consider as a solution. They insisted it should only be Avodah Ivrit. So on some occasions, the workers organized a strike, because they wanted higher wages, and then the bosses hired the Arab workers, and the boss hired other Jews, whatever. And then So the workers were slashing tires and smashing windows in the companies, like the Meeting America, like the unions did in America. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman lived in Europe, and he read about this in the newspaper. He thought it was terrible, so he printed an open letter to all of the religious Jews. He understood that there were religious Jews also involved in these shenanigans, slashing tires and beating up the Jews, beating up the people who went to work, who were breaking the union line, the picket line, and so on. So he wrote an open letter in the newspaper to all these people, you're not allowed to do this. It's Mazik and Chaybal and Hepsed Mamin, you're not allowed to do this. So they write in the biography of the Chazon Ish that no one ever saw the letter, but they understand that the Chazon Ish sent a private letter to Rabbi Chana Wasserman. Chazon Ish already lived in Eretz Yisrael, so he sent them a private letter. He said, there are Rabbanim here in Eretz Yisrael. Why don't you let us pass in the Shaila? So he wrote in the letter, what do you have to stick your 2 cents in? You don't know what's going on over here. The din is a kaifan alat doker. And the bosses are making so much money, they should pay the workers a little more. The workers have a right to slash the tires and to smash the windows. In order, sometimes Robin Hood has a right to steal from the rich and give to the poor. Because the visit din, sometimes kaifan alat doker, if it's the same reason. Unless the workers are making out so well. So what are they making already? Yeah, the garbage collectors make $100,000 a year. And they want to make $110,000 a year. $100,000 a year is not enough. The garbage collector or the conductors on the train, they're making $100,000 a year. They want more. So that's not fair. That's not reasonable. But if they're making $25,000 a year, they want to try to make a living. So that's taka kaifan ala tzedaka. So you have to go along with them to pressure the company to give them an increase in salary. But the Gemara says that if a person steals from someone, he gives to someone else, even though he's not the recipient of the gezel, the Gemara says, "Al tigzol dalki dalhe." That's a violation of gezel. The Gemara quotes the various pidgamim, folk sayings that the different people said. The Gemara quotes the various psukim. So one of the pidgamim was that when a husband and a wife loved each other very much, they were so lovey-dovey, so they could even sleep on the sharpness of a sword, on a bed that's so skinny. And then when they don't get along, there's no shalom bayis, the bed can be as wide as you want, and there's not enough room for everybody. So the Gemara says, where is this an interesting idea? It must be... All the nice ideas probably appear in Tanakh. So the Gemara says, yeah, this is also in Tanakh. The Gemara says, where is this in Tanakh? That in the Chumash you see that how high was the Aron Abyss, that says the Aron was Tisho and the Kaporos was the thickness of a Tefach Harik HaMasorah. This is the Gemara Sukkah, Davdal and Amanala. The Gemara has this. The Gemara has a different Sukkah when they're trying to establish the din that the Tefanas of a Sukkah have to be 10 Tefachim tall. Or the mechitzas for Shabbos purposes have to be 10 tefachim tall. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Because the Shechina was shara on top of the Oron. Ve'alti lecha shom v'dibayti itcha me'al ha'kaporis mi'bein shnei akruvim. The Shechina rested on top of the Oron bein shnei akruvim, and the Shechina would speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu stood on the ground, and when it says Moshe olalam Oron, that's what we say in the Piyutim, Moshe olalam Oron, what do you mean? Moshe went up to the top of Har Sinai and he had his feet on the ground. So that's not Moshe Olam Amor. He went up to the top of the mountain. It means somehow he was elevated. He was standing on the clouds. He was standing not on top of the mountain. When he went up to the top of the mountain, he kept on climbing higher and there was no ladder. But still the Gemara says he didn't climb higher than 10 Tzvachim. Moshe Rabbeinu never went up higher than 10 Tzvachim. So the first 10 Tzvachim of Avir above the ground are Mitzurif to the ground. So human beings... The human beings don't go up higher than 10 tefachim. That's called Shamayim, Shamayim, Lashem. The human beings only stay either on the ground or within the first 10 tefachim of the ground. If you have an airplane, it's a different story. Okay, we're not talking an airplane. Airplane, you're on the ground, except that the ground is moving. If you go to Mars, you're on the ground. It's a different ground. Instead of being the ground over here, it's the ground over there. Okay. So the Gemara says that the Shechina, when it says in the Pasuk, the debate is chamiyal akaparis mein shnei akruvim. I says hashamayim shamayim Hashem. The Shechina stays in heaven. Miyolam miyol the Shechina lamata. Miyolam leolam Moshe lamorim. So what do you mean the Shechina never came down? It says in Chumash the Shechina did come down on top of the kaparis. The Gemara says no. But on top of the kaparis was already 10 tvachim above the ground, and that's the reshus bifnei atzma. So how do you see from here? How do you see from here that the mechitzas for Shabbos purposes and the defanas for the sukkah purposes have to be 10 tvachim tall? So the vort is, that's what you see from that gemara sukkah davdala roman aleph and the whole sukkah there. The whole idea of a doifen for a sukkah or mechitza for Shabbos is to be makif the mokum. You want to be makif the mokum. And the mokum is not just two-dimensional, the ground level. The mokum includes the top, the first 10 tefachim immediately above the ground level. So you have to be makif that mokum with mechitzas. That's called, if you just put a low mechitza around the surface of the ground, that's not makif the whole mokum, because the mokum is teifis up until 10 tefachim. But it's not teifis more than 10 tefachim. Rishus Sarabim is only teifis the first 10 tefachim. Above that is mokum tur. A Carmel is only teifis the first 10 tefachim. Above that is a mokum tur. The Rishus Hayochid, Rishus Hayochid is Oila Adler Akiyah. That's a different reason why. Because the mechitzas, we visualize the mechitzas as if they extend up all the way. We say good, Asik mechitzah. Good means we stretch up. Even though mechitzas are only 10, 20 tefachim tall, we imagine in our mind, we visualize, the Halacha says you have right to visualize, as if you're stretching up good, asik mechitzi, you stretch up the mechitzis and they go up ad l'rakia. So that's why Rishu Sayochad is oil ad l'rakia, because the whole mokum is mukaf al pidin. But really, a Rishu Sarabim or a Carmelis is only oil at 10 tefachim. So the same over here. The Gemara says in Sukkah that the reason why a mechitza for Shabbos purposes and a mechitza for Sukkah purposes has to be 10 tefachim. Where did that come from? So the shear has been established, that's what one time holds. The shear is established based on this assumption that Oren Tisha, the kapoira is tefach. How do you know Oren Tisha? Because it says, Amo v'chetzi koimosoi. And an Amo is 6 tefachim. And a chatzi Amo is 3 tefachim. So 6 and 3 is 9. And the kapores, it doesn't say how thick the kapores was. So the Gemara says the kapores is described as el pnei ha-kapores. So pnei ha-kapores, ein ponim chusim mitefach. So that's how I know that the thickness of the kapores was a tefach. The Gemara happens to say that that's not the accepted opinion, I think. The accepted opinion is that the concept that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall is really only known through halacha Moshe Messina. It's not known through these psukim, because the calculations are all wrong. In the Mishnayos and Menachos, there's a machlokes ha-tanoim. How big is an amma? Is an amma 6 tefachim long, or is an amma 5 tefachim long? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara has a machlokes on Meir Rav Yudah. So one Tana says an amma is always 6 tefachim long, whether it's an amma of binyan or an amma of kelim. And the other Tana, I think we pass from like the second Tana, says wrong. An amma of binyan is 6 tefachim long, and an amma of kelim is only 5 tefachim. So there's a discrepancy, there's a difference between the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The Mizbeach HaChitzon, the Mizbeach HaOilo, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, outside, was a Mizbeach HaDom, was Memula BaDom, is filled in with Adom. So that's Mechubel HaKarka. It was all filled in with Ofer. So that's considered a binyan. So when the Chumash gives you the dimensions of how big the Mizbeach HaChitzon was, there you're working with an Amma Bashisha Tzvokim. But the Mizbech HaPnimi, that's the Mizbech HaZov, the Mizbech HaKtores, that was not Mechubel HaKarka, that was a Kli. The Amas HaKelim is Bas Chamisha Tfachim, is only 5 Tfachim. So if it says in Chumash that the Mizbech HaKtores was Amo V'Chetzi Koimosoi, it's not 6 and 3. Amo is not 6 and Chetzi is not 3. Amo is 5 and Chetzi is 2.5. So 5 and 2.5 is 7.5. Then the Kaporis is 1 Tefach, it only gives you 8.5, so where do you get to 10? So maybe the Shechinah is all the way right on top of the 8.5. So the Gemara says, no, we have a tradition that the Shear is 10 tefachim. That's a tradition, but it's not already the pasuk. This brisa that says, Oren Tisha v'kaporis tefach, is not the accepted opinion. That's a machlokes on Meir Rav Yudah. That's the other Tana holds like that. The other Tana holds that all Beil Amas HaKelem and Amas HaBinyan, all the Amas are Shisha tefachim. But that's how the sugya begins in the Maseches Sukkah and Daf Dalet, that Oren Tisha v'Kaporis Tefach, and then the Shechina was on top, because Me'olam Me'od, the Shechina Lamato, Shemaim Shemaim Hashem, Oren Sassan of Me'odam, the Shechina never came down below 10 Tefach. So the Shechina was always Me'ala Kaporis, which was always 10 Tefach above the ground. So originally in the days of the Midbar, the Shechina was Shara there, a little bit above 10 tefachim, and on a little oren, how big was it? Amasai v'cheitzi orko v'yama v'cheitzi rochba v'yama v'cheitzi komosai. It was a very small thing. And then later, in the days of the Beis Hamikdosh, towards the end of the period of the Bais Rishon, so the Baruch Shalom is upset with Bnei Yisrael, is considering destroying his Beis Hamikdosh. So he says, "Hashemayim kisa b'aretz hadon ragla eza b'aretz hashetivni li eza mokim minuchosa." How can you make a Beis Hamikdosh? HaKadosh Baruch is infinite. There's not room over there in the Beis Hamikdosh. So what did the Baruch Shalom tell Moshe Rabbeinu to make an Oren to the Shechina was going to be? Yeah, that's when he loved the Bnei Yisrael. That Kadrechim ten havi aziza. When the love was very strong for each other, the Baruch Shalom loved the Knesset Yisrael very much. So he said, "He'll be mitzamtem Shechinosa on top of this tiny little Oren, and a kemat on the ground, just a 10 tefachim above the ground, and that's it." But when he was already not so keen, the Baruch Shalom was upset with the Bnei Yisrael because we were not Oysim and Tzomisham Mokhem. So then the Baruch Shalom gives a tract and says, "What am I can't squeeze into this Hashemayim Kisa Oretz Hadana Ezbar Hashetiv Nili." He doesn't want to be Mitzamtim himself anymore. He doesn't love Bnei Yisrael, so he can't fit into the Beis HaMikdash anymore. Any more quotes? Psukim, that when you appoint a rabbi, you're supposed to appoint a Talmid Chacham, not a politician. You have to appoint a qualified individual. And if you appoint an improper candidate as a rabbi, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lihipareya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish those who are ma'amidim. And it's considered as if the person violated Lasita L'cha Asherah. It's like you're making an Avodah Zarah, because the rabbi is supposed to preach Torah that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if the rabbi is an Amoret, he's not going to say the right thing. It's like a different religion. If a person misrepresents the Torah, so that's the equivalent. Sometimes people misrepresent unintentionally by mistake. Yes, the rabbi didn't say makes a mistake. The Gemara has the Tanaim and Amoranda. Everybody makes mistakes, a human being. But if the person knows what the din is and he intentionally misrepresents it, that's considered like Avodah Zarah, because we believe that the whole Torah is a representation, is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the famous Maharshal in the Yamshel Shloima and Bava Kamma. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma and Daf Lamed Ches, I think, for Ashokha Malchus Raimi, the Roman government sent two representatives to the rabbis, and they wanted to hear Kol HaTorah Kulo to find out whether there's any discrimination in the Jewish religion against the good. So the rabbis told them the truth. So we do discriminate. That Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Shabbos, only Pikuach Nefesh are Yisrael. And when a Nochris is about to give birth, so the Yisraelim doctors are allowed to treat her on Shabbos, and so on and so forth. All the differences. So the Nochrim said, after a short period of time of hearing all the dinim, so he said they're very impressed by the Jewish religion. They're not so happy about these couple of dinim, but they promised the rabbis that they're not going to snitch. They're not going to report it to the Roman government. And then it says in the Medrash, the Bavli doesn't have the whole story. Yerushalmi and the Medrash have it more barichas. It says on their way traveling back to Rome, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't trust them, so he caused the miracle to forget, and he caused the miracle to appear, and they forgot. They lost all the notes, and they forgot, and they just came back to Rome, and they gave a report that Jewish religion is marvelous, and there's no discrimination. So the Maharshal comments over there, he says, why were the rabbis so stupid that they told him the truth? The Torah Shebaal Peh was not in writing at that time. So they should have told them, like many rabbis say today, Jewish religion doesn't. Today everything is available on the internet. Everything is available in the bookstores in English, in every language. They have everything in every. So the rabbis get up and they say, oh, Jewish religion treats the Jews and the non-Jews equally. It's not true. We do discriminate. There are discriminatory laws. So the Marshal asks, why didn't they just tell a lie? They weren't afraid that there would be a sakana to the Jewish people. So he says it would appear in this Gemara that the Torah is a description of Elokus, and if you intentionally misrepresent the Torah, so you're describing Avodah Zarah, so you're describing a different God, and that's Yehoreg Val Yahweh, that's like worshipping Avodah Zarah. So that's what the Gemara says, that one is Mambid, a dying Shenahog, one who appoints a rabbi who's not qualified. What's the rabbi going to do? He's going to pass from Shilas, he's going to pass from Dinei Torah. So that's like the ones who appointed him as the rabbi are in violation of the Sita Lo HaAsherah. It's like establishing an Avodah Zarah. He's setting up, he's cracking up the rabbi, he's cracking up a non-qualified individual to be a rabbi, that he should preach Torah, and you know in advance that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Then the Gemara says that there's one Avera to make an Asherah, to make an Avera Zohar anywhere in the world, but then there's a bigger Avera, Sitaluch Asherah Kolei Teitzel Mizbach Hashem Alakecha. If he plants the Avera Zohar tree in the Beis HaMikdash, or near the Beis HaMikdash, then it's worse. Then it's worse. So the Gemara says if they could have had, if they could have appointed a qualified rabbi, and instead they appointed an unqualified rabbi, then it's even worse. If you could have had the real McCoy, and instead you choose to have this non-qualified person, that's like making an Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash. The truth of the matter is that pasuk, the meaning of the word Asherah is not the same as Asherah Tisrifum Bereshit Tzilalem Tegadir. And that pasuk, Asherah Hem Tisrifum Bereshit, you're talking about an Asherah HaNevedis, a tree that is worshipped. So it's a Dovish Al Avodah Zarah, and you have to destroy it. I bet it's the Asherah is a tree and it's Mechuba Lekarka, and Karka Olam is not Nesar. The Gemara says later in Sanhedrin, where's that Gemara? There's Karka Olam, because it says, Elohim Al Haharim, Eloi Haharim Elohim. So the Gemara says, Kakroilam, where is it? Mem Zayin on the base. The Gemara has such an expression, Kakroilam ain't on Esa. Right? Elohim al haharim eloi haharim alaheihem. So the tree is really mechubala karka. So how does the tree ever become asabano to the extent that the Chumash says you have to burn it, you have to destroy it? So the Mishnah on Avodah Zarah works on that kasha. What kind of trees are they? Does it mean only a tree that was originally planted l'shem Avodah Zarah? What if the tree was standing there and then later on the Nochim come and they worshipped it? So there are different opinions in the Tanoim, in the Mishnah on Avodah Zarah, when the tree becomes also or not. So that's the parsha of Asherah. Asherah Tisser from Boish, you have to burn the Avodah Zarah. That's Asherah HaNevedis. Here, this pasuk, L'sita Loch Asherah Tam Mizbach Hashem Lakech, is talking Asherah Shein HaNevedis. A nice tree, that's all. You're not allowed to plant any trees on the Har Bais. It doesn't matter whether it's Nevedis or Eina Nevedis. You're not permitted to plant any trees on the Har Bais. In fact, the Yerushalmi comments on the Mishnah Megillah. It says that on the first day, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, following Shnas HaShmita, they used to have Hakel. So what if the first day, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, turns out to be Shabbos? So you have Hakel on the second day, Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Why do you wait? Why don't you have Hakel on the first day, Yom Tov? It says, Bevo Chag HaSukkos, Bevo Kol Yisrael Leiros. The first of the Sholosh Ugolim, after Shnas HaShmita Sukkos. So why do you postpone Hakel till Chol HaMoed? Have it on the first day, Yom Tov. So it says, no, the Mishnah says in the Megillah, you can't have Hakel not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. So you have normally on the first day, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and if that's Shabbos, yeah, by us probably it will never be Shabbos, no? Because Rosh Hashanah never falls out on Friday. The first day of Sukkot is going to be the same day as Rosh Hashanah. So by us, it's impossible. But Bizman HaTanoi, before the Luach was established, so once in a while Rosh Hashanah would fall out on a Friday, and the first day of Sukkot would be on Friday. So on Yom Tov, if you don't have Hakel, and then the next day, first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot, is going to be Shabbos. So then you postpone Hakel till Sunday. Why? What's the Malach involved? That you're not allowed to have the Hakel on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. So I don't think the Gemara gives an explanation. So Rashi on Megillah quotes the Rishalmi. I think Rishalmi has two explanations. And the Rambam and the Ravid, each one is quoting from the Rishalmi. The Rambam gives one explanation, the Ravid gives the other explanation, and the two explanations appear in the Talmud Rishalmi. The Rambam in the end of Hilchas Chagigah, and he quotes all the dinim of Hakel. So Yerushalmi has the two explanations. One is, if you've ever been to the Zechel HaKlal that you have in Eretz Yisrael, they blow trumpets. So they used to blow Hatzaitzris during Hakel. So you're not supposed to blow any musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Chol HaMoed it's Mutter, and Shabbos Yom Tov it's Asa. Just parenthetically, that's Tak HaMachloikis. Are you allowed to play a piano on Chol HaMoed? HaMachloikis HaChreinim. Whether the Gzeira, the Rabbana, everything that's forbidden on Shabbos and Yom Tov is forbidden on Chol HaMoed. That means only malachis that is forbidden on Shabbos and Yom Tov, forbidden on Chol HaMoed, or even gzeiros. Playing music is not a malacha deraisa, it's not a malacha derabbanan, but it's a gzeira. It's a gzeira shemi sakim tlishir. Let's say climbing up on a tree. You're not allowed to climb on a tree. Gzeira shema yachtach zmar. You're not allowed to ride on a horseback. Gzeira shema yachtach zmar. May break off a branch. with the horse for the shit. So you're not allowed to ride a horseback on Chol HaMoed? But he's saying, no, that's not Bechlal, it's not a Malacha, it's only a Gzeret. The only things that carried over from Yontif to Chol HaMoed were Malachas deraisa de Rabbanim and not Gzeret. So that's a Machlokes. There's a Taisus in the first parak in Maikot. Maikot was all about Chol HaMoed. So Taisus comments on the Gemara. Mikan, from this Gemara you see that you're not allowed to go horseback riding on Chol HaMoed. Because whatever is also on Yontif is also on Chol HaMoed. And the Beis Yosef quotes the Taisus, and he doesn't quote anybody who disagrees, but he says, I don't accept the Taisus. Rabbi Yosef Kar says, I don't accept that Taisus. It doesn't make any sense. It's only a Gzeirah. The only things that carry over from Yontif, and that's why we passed in the Shulchan Aruch. But the Gzeirahs are not carried over from Yontif to Chol HaMoed. Only the Melochas, whatever is a Melochas. But whatever is a Gzeirah is not carried over. So that's why we assume Halacha L'maaseh that playing music is Mutar Chol HaMoed. We're permitted to play music. So that's what it says in the Yerushalmi also, that they didn't have hakel neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. They had to have it on Chol HaMoed because we used to blow the Chatzotzeres, and you're not allowed to blow the Chatzotzeres on Shabbos and Yontif, but you are permitted to blow the Chatzotzeres on Chol HaMoed. That's the one explanation. That's the Rambam. That's the last two lines in the Rambam Hilchos Chagiga. Hakel that falls out on Shabbos is postponed till Achara Shabbos. That's the Mishnah and Megillah. And it doesn't say why. So the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi Mipnei Tkiyas HaChatzotzeres. They had Tchinos. They used to have Tchinos also. She'ein HaDochin Es HaShabbos V'lo Es HaYontif. That's what the Rambam writes. And the Rabbi writes the other reason. He doesn't like that. The both reasons appear in the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Rabbi quotes the other reason because of the Bima Shaleitz. Because they used to have a big platform in the Yazar, a wooden platform in the Ezos Noshim, where the Melech used to lay in the Sefer Torah for the Hakil. So this platform is made from wood, and there's a din that you're not allowed to plant any trees, you're not allowed to have any wooden structure either. So if you just have a Bima Shaleit, a wooden platform there temporarily, like here, they used to have graduation on the lawn, there's no lawn anymore. There used to be a lawn across the street. They used to have graduation. They used to put up, just overnight, they used to put up a wooden beam, a wooden platform at Bima Shaleitz, and have the dignitaries, the mayor, all the people would sit on top of the Bima Shaleitz. And then 2 hours after the whole graduation was over, everything disappeared. The chairs disappeared, the grass remained. But the chairs disappeared, and the platform disappeared, everything went away. So in the Beis HaMikdash also, they used to make this Bima Shaleitz. So they used to put it up on Chol HaMoed, have Hakel, and then take it down on the same day. They didn't want to leave it for 24 hours. If you leave it for 24 hours, that's a shtikl shel kayoma, and that'll be a violation of l'sita l'cha shera kaleitz. You're not only not allowed to plant a wooden tree, you're not allowed to build a wooden building in the Azara that's shel kayoma. So on Yontif, they don't have Hakel, because then they'll have to make the wooden platform on Erev Yontif, and leave it there for more than 24 hours and take it down after Havdalah. Or if, let's say, the first day Chol HaMoed is Shabbos, then they'll have to have the Bima Shaleitz there for 48 hours. That's also not allowed. So you have to wait till a day of Chol HaMoed where you'll be able to put up the Bima Shaleitz and take it down within the same day. So that halacha indicates, that's what the writer quotes the other reason. It's now Bima Shevazor. The answer is you're not allowed. So the pashtus really is that the pasuk l'sita l'cha shera kaleitz has nothing to do with the asherah ha-nevedis. It's an asherah she'ena nevedis. It goes on planting trees. It's a different issue. In Europe, there was always an issue. Rabbi Akiva Eger, on the bottom of the page in Shulchan Aruch on Hilchas Beis HaKnesses in Arachayim, Rabbi Akiva Eger refers you to one of the Achrayim who says that a lot of the dinim of the Beis HaMikdash are carried over to a Beis HaKnesses. Some of the Achrayim say that if you have a shul that's built already and you want to enhance the beauty of the shul by planting trees in the chutz of Beis HaKnesses, that's forbidden because of l'sita l'cha shera kaleitz. That's what Rabbi Kedega quotes. The earlier Achrayim said like that, and the later Achrayim disagreed. If you have trees are there and then you build a shul, that's a different thing. The trees were there, you're not going to have to chop them down. If you have trees and then you build and then you make an azar, you can leave the trees there. All these are only is l'sita l'cha shera. When you have the Azorah first, you're not allowed to make the tree, and you're not allowed to put up the wooden building. So this was the Machlokes in Europe. The Binyan Sion has a whole tshuva. He says there's nothing wrong with planting trees b'chatzar Beis HaKnesses. And the Netziv has such a tshuva also. And Rav Chaim married the granddaughter of the Netziv, so he also followed that psak. So there's nothing wrong with they say the shuls used to be made from wood. So if the dinam of Beis HaMikdash, if this dinam from the Beis HaMikdash should be carried over to Beis HaKnesses, it should follow, you're not allowed to make a wooden shul. And all the shuls were made from wood. Or the pews were made from wood. The whole, the floors were made from wood. The ceilings were made from wood. Everything was made from wood. How can you say that there's an issur? It's not only on a tree. It applies to any wooden structure. That's kavua. The din of lasit of hashir
kavua. How come the chatzos from the mikdash
is? It's a good kasha. The Gemara in Shabbos thinks we'll say any shoes by mikdash is only if it's really the tzarach akrovas akrobonis, the tzarach godos akrovas akrobonis. But this you can really do without the chatzos. It's not me'akev, so it's not really considered the tzarach akrobonis. There's no karbonis over here at all. It's just hakir. So here we say Yeshua's Bamiglish. Tosfos points out you have Tosfos and Shabbos and Perakolakalim collect a few Gemaras that you have Shusim. In fact, the Gemara has like this: the Shulchan and the Heichal used to have the two piles of the Lechem Aponim, six Sheish Hamareches. There were two piles, each one had six Lechem Aponim, one on top of the other, and they were held. The first Lechem Aponim was on the table, on the Shulchan. And then the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth were on shelves. There were shelves. And they used to have like sniffim, what do you call it, the metal bars that went up, and a frame. And then the shelves would be in between, held up on these, you could take them out. So the Gemara says that every Erev Shabbos, before lift tension and the Beis HaMikdash, they would take out the shelves and have the Lechem Aponim resting on top of each other. Shabbos they put on the new, they took off the old lechem upon and put on the new lechem upon, and after Havdalah then they put back the shelves. Why didn't they leave the shelves on Shabbos? So the Gemara says that because the lechem upon is so big. By us, if you need a dish from the shelf, so you don't take down the whole shelf. But apparently over here the lechem upon is so big they couldn't take it down without taking off the shelf. And to handle a shelf unnecessarily on Shabbos is an isa tilta klisha malachta leheter. There's a din, you're not allowed to be metaltal klisha malach dele iser, a pen or a pencil, you're not allowed to be metaltal unless it's al gufa letzach mekoymoi, or that's it, it's al gufa letzach mekoymoi, where my mechama letzel? Not allowed to. But if it's a klisha malach dele heter, then you're allowed to move it, it's al gufa letzach mekoymoi, mechama letzel, to protect it from getting ruined. But shalot letzor klal, it's in the Gemara that you're not allowed to be metaltal klisha malach, that guy has nothing to do. People do this all the time when you're waiting at the table. So there are glasses on the table. The people swirl the glasses on Shabbos, or they play with the silverware, they turn the plate around upside down. Not that. Nervous, out of nerves. So the Pashup Shat and the Shulchan Aruch is that you're not allowed to do that. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. But that's what it sounds like in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Kalisha Malach de Lahet there, you're only permitted to handle, to move, it's so good for itself, and Koma Mechama Letzel. But Shalot HaTzarach Klal, you're not allowed to. So the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says,
what's the
it's a Gzeira D'Rabbanon, Gzeira Shem Yotzi. They really wanted to ask you handling anything in the house, because if you handle it in the house, you may forget and carry it out into the street. Like so. So they made three levels of prohibitions. They made Tiltal Muktze, they asked it with no Heteru. Only, you know, Chayla, something like that. Because Muktze means there's something that's junk that you really don't need. So it doesn't share our pleasure on Shabbos. If you say not allowed to handle muktz on Shabbos, it doesn't interfere with our ability to enjoy Shabbos. Kalisha malachta v'yisr is a lower level of an isr, that you're not allowed to handle pens and pencils and so on. And kalisha malachta v'heter is a lower level of an isr, but there still is an isr. You're not allowed to handle the shalot tzarach klal. So the Mishnah says that on Erev Shabbos they took apart the shelves, the what are they called, the ksos hanasach. Says Hanasach with the shelves that were, I think these things are called the sniffer. These are called the Kseis Hanasach. They took them apart so that on Shabbos, when they take off the Lechem Aponim on the new one, they wouldn't have to handle the shelves. So Tosfos says, Gevald, what happened to Ein Shuus Bamigdosh? You got to do the mitzvah of Lechem Aponim. So Tosfos says, see if in the Gemara, that a lot of Shuus Bamigdosh, because it wasn't really necessary. For 25 hours, they can leave the Lechem Aponim without the shelves. They can live without the shelves. So they didn't want them to violate the Yisr, the Rabbanon of Tiltul Kalisha Malach de Lahet. Yeah.
Some of the anything that's with Sarah Shelton, they're liable to call that anyway, so if that
I mean, even if it would have been forbidden to play a piano on your on Chol HaMoed, but this would be mutar. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Really want to fulfill the mitzvah hakyom. Okay. So this is discussed in Shulchan Aruch. In Chayshim Mishpat and Hilchas Dayanim, they quote this dinim of appointing a dayan shein hogun, and then the Nesikim talk about appointing a rabbi shein hogun. It's basically the same thing. The rabbi is supposed to give divrei Elokim chayim. So if the rabbi is ein hogun, so that's the same violation of lasik lucha shera, and it's daima le'oisa v'dizar, because he's gonna misrepresent the Torah. In Europe, they used to have problems. In America also, the Balabatim, each one had, he wanted to appoint his third cousin to be the rabbi in the Kehillah. Or he wants someone a little more liberal. He doesn't want such an old-fashioned machmir. He wants someone a little liberal. If he's liberal, but within... the Balabatim don't have to go for all the Chazanish Kumars. If he's liberal, he wants to follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's okay. But if he's liberal, he doesn't want to follow what the Torah says. So that's an Isra of Mesitim L'Hashir. So they quote there that they made Charamim, that the Rishonim made a Charam if you appoint a rabbi in addition to what it says in the Gemara, that nobody listens to that. So they used to make Charam HaKehillis, that you're not allowed to appoint a rabbi if you're a relative of the rabbi. Whoever's a relative is not allowed to vote, so on and so forth. Different Charamim they made. Then the Gemara speaks about the importance of the dayan being careful when he passes the shaila. The Gemara says, "Have a mesunim badin, a mishnah pirkei avos, hey mamash shlosha dvarim." The first mishnah, the anshei knesset agdolah. So one of the three things was have a mesunim badin. Have a mesunim badin. Some rabbis have the policy that when you ask him a shaila, they give you a snap answer right away. They give you a psak right off and on. So that's a violation of have a mesunim badin. You have to think it over a little bit before you issue a psak. There's a biography of the Minsk Gadol. Very interesting. There was a Balabas who was very close to the Minsk Gadol before he came to Minsk. And then after he came to Minsk, he came with him. He used to teach his children. And he was always like a shamus of the Minsk Gadol. So he describes... He describes the Minsk Gadol, so he said when he first took his first rabbinical position, he was very snappy. And when the Balabatim asked Mishalis, he used to give a psak right away, right on the spot. And then the Balabatim said, but Rabbi, in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say like that. On the Chayyadim, it doesn't say like that. So he said, but that's what it says in the Gemara, so forget about what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So this Balabas, he used to always try to give him advice. He writes in the biography, he got to him and he said, he has to tell him that the Balabatim are complaining. They don't know what it says in the Gemara. They know what it says in the Kitzur. They know what it says in the Chayyadim. And you give them such a snappy answer. They feel so humiliated. You know, he tells them, that's a stupid child. It's enough in a Tesis in Erevin. So you have to make believe as if the Shaila is a Shaila, and you have to look it up. Make believe, you know, and you have to tell them over what it says in the Kitzur. You've got to play with the Balamata. So he changed. So he writes that the Minsk Gadol changes all way. And he spent 3 days and he read through the whole Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the whole Chayyadim. So from that time on, whenever he asked many Shabbos, he would tell him, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, something like that. But the Chayyadim says like this, he would show them in there and there in the language that they would understand. And he would always be having Mesunim Adin. He realized that it's not right to give such a snappy answer. You have to think it over. Rav Soloveitchik, I remember years ago, he told the boys who were getting smicha that when the Balabatim call him up on the phone, with a shaila, they shouldn't paskin on the telephone. They should first, even if they know the din, even if they know beferish what the din is, even if they just paskin it 100 times, yalaviyavu shaila sacham, that's obvious. They should say they're going to hang up the phone and look it up in Shulchan Aruch and actually look it up and then call them back. He said at least that much. Rather than say right away what the din is, at least he should hang up and call back later. At least that should be a madrega of having the sunnah of the din. Then they said over the Pischei Tshuva and Yerideh, it quotes from the Prima Godin that there's another consideration, that there is halacha we had over here earlier on Heyom Ebeis, that Talmud al Yoreh b'makam Rabbi. You're not allowed to pask in the Makam Rabbi. So the Primogodim writes, the Rishonim have this lashon that Bizman is dead. We don't really have a Rabbi Muvak, Rabbi Sherov Chachmasa Hemenu. That the majority of my Torah knowledge came from this person. We don't really have that. We learn from Svarim. So the Rishonim, the Bali Atesis, have such a lashon, and the Tshuvas of the Bali Atesis. That today, the Rav Chachmasa is really from Svarim. So the Primogodim picks up that expression that the Bali Atesis say. So he says that you paskin in the presence of the Svarim without opening up the Sefer, that's a violation of our halacha bifnei rabbi, because the Svarim are the Rav Chachmasa and Nenet, that's the Rabbi Muvah. So he says, whenever anybody asks a shayla, you should open up the Sefer, open up the Shulchan Aruch, open up Chayyotim, whatever, open up a Mishnah Berurah, whatever, and don't paskin before looking inside. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to recommend to the Mesmochim. They shouldn't feel that this is a test of their qualifications, of their learning. That if they don't give a snap answer over the telephone, the Balabatim are going to think that they're Amaratzim, that they're not Talmid HaChamim. It's okay. Tell them that's the halacha. The halacha says that you have to hang up the phone and look it up. That's part of the halacha. That's what he used to do. Yeah. If I tell you, I think it says this and this, look it up over there. I tell the guy, look up over there, and I think that's what it says. So if the guy's going to look it up, it's good. I'll find out on his own whether it says it or not. But if I know the fellow's not going to look it up, he's going to take my word for it. So then he's relying on me. So then it's no good. then heaven is soon about dinner applies. If a rabbi calls up another rabbi, so you say, look in this and this safer, there's a discussion there. I think it says that. So if the other guy's going to look, okay, he'll find out whether it does say it or doesn't say. Then the Gemara has the famous comment on the pasuk, "Eila hamishpatim asher tosim lifneihem." 15 lines from the bottom of Zayin and Beis. Why does it say asher tosim lifneihem? Sima usually applies to some tangible object. It should say "Eila mishpatim asher talamdein." Why does it say asher tosim? So the Gemara has a tradition. This is referring to the klei hadayon. Eilu klei hadayon. I'm Rabbi Yirmi, I'm Tem Rabbi Chia Barah, but that's what Rabbi Yechanan says, Klei HaDayonim. Means that Dayonim have to have some ability to enforce their Pesach. That's what the Chazon Ish writes in his section, Achilah Chashem Mishpat, that he writes, he spoke about this, there is a Gemara in Daf Lamed that normally Eidim can only sign on a shtar if they were authorized Midas HaMeschayim. If two witnesses watch the way Reuben is borrowing money from Shimon, let's say they're watching through the window, and they overhear the way he says, could you please lend me $100? He lends him the money, and he says, okay, I'm going to pay it back within a week. And they saw everything, and they know that it's not an act, it's for real, that Reuben lent money $100, and he says he's going to pay it back within a week. So then the Malva requests of the Eidim, he sees that there were people watching, he requests, could you sign a document to that effect? So they're not allowed to sign. That's Mepim Elohim Tiksovim. They can only sign the shtar if the loiver, the one against whom the shtar is testifying, he's the das on the side. If the loiver authorizes the writing of the shtar. So the Gemara says on Lamed that there is an exception to the rule, on Daf Chavtes, on Daf Lamed, there is an exception to the rule that Bezdin has the right to authorize a shtar, authorize the writing of a shtar without das on the side. So the in the Sefer Tzemach David, which is the Sefer Ha'oris on Shubas Rebbe Akiva Eger, by Rav Akiva David Rappaport, he was a descendant of Rebbe Akiva Eger. He was named after Rebbe Akiva Eger. He gave Shurim in Rabbi Hanan's yeshiva in Baranovich. So Rabbi Hanan gave him the job because he liked that Sefer so much. He didn't know him. He just saw the Sefer Tzemach David, so it was such a good Sefer, so he hired him. So in the Sefer Tzemach David, which is Ha'oris on Shubas Rebbe Akiva Eger, he has a very beautiful discussion of this din. Why does the Bezin have the right to authorize the signing of a shtar without the Asana Kach? So he says, according to some Rishonim and Achronim, who shows a major dispute, every Rishon and Achronim is involved in this machloikis. There is a machloikis, what's the nature of the din of Hefke Bezin Hefke? So the Nesivis holds, and half of the Rishonim hold like the Nesivis, machloikis that says the Nesivis, Machlek is the base Yosef and Rabbi Yeruchim all the way from all the Rishonim to all the Achronim. Everybody's Machulik. So half of the Rishonim hold Hefke bez nefke means like this. If I own property, I can be mafke by making an oral declaration. If I declare this as ownerless, it becomes hefke. So even though I cannot be mafke your property, ain't on the mafke dovishen shalom, like I can't ain't on mafke dovishen shalom, but Bezdin has the right to act as if they were the bailim on my property. So just like I have a right to be mafke my property, so Bezdin has the right to be mafke my property. But if Bezdin is going to make an oral declaration, we hereby declare that my property belongs to someone else. I myself can't do that. How can I make a declaration, I declare my property belongs to someone else? It won't become his. I can make it hefker by dibur, but I can't transfer ownership to someone else just by peh. The dibur said that koyach of bezin cannot exceed the koyach of the bailim. The koyach of the bezin simply is that whereas I don't amakke dov b'shenu shaloi, I don't amakke dov b'shenu shaloi, Bezin has the right to act as if they are the bailim on everybody's, like eminent domain. The government has the right to act as if they are the bailim on everybody's property. So the Tzemach Tzadik writes, according to those opinions, we understand why a shtar that's authorized by the Bezin is acceptable. Why there was no Dasa Meschayev. So he says, no, the Bezin has the right to issue a Dasa Meschayev. Whatever if the Loiva himself would have authorized the Eidim to sign the shtar, they would have been fine. It would have constituted a Dasa Meschayev. So if the Bezin authorizes the Eidim, the Bezin are authorizing Bimkayim the Loiva. So that's like, that's based on the institution of Hefke Bezin Hefke. Yeah, but that's only Niche if you hold like the Nesivis. The Nesivis quotes up such a as Beis Yankiv, somebody before his day. That's true as Beis Yankiv, usually we don't follow what he says. He says, usually when they quote him, we don't accept. Very few things that we accept. So this is one of the few that the Nesivis quotes this from the Beis Yankiv. Beis Yankiv was up to 150 years before the Nesivis, I think. So the. According to the Nesivis and these Rishonim, so that's what Hefke Bezin Hefke means. That Bezin has the right to act as if they are the Bali HaMamin. So just like the Bali HaMamin can authorize the Eidim to sign a shtar, so the Bezin has the right, Mikoch Hefke Bezin Hefke, Bezin has the right to act as the Bali HaMamin, they can authorize the shtar to be signed. And that's Mamish Shtar Midas HaMeschayev, it's a regular shtar. The shtar that the Bezin authorized, a regular shtar. But if you hold like the other Rishonim, that Hefke Bezin Hefke, not only enables Bezdin Minatora, not only enables Bezdin Minatora to be mafke my property, even to be makna lacherim. So how can that be? It means that the koyach of Bezdin is in excess of the koyach of the bailin. So then you have to say differently. You have to word the halach differently. We have sukkim to hefke Bezdin hefke. We have to word it differently. It's not that Bezdin has the right to act as if they are the bailin. They are not the bailin. Bezdin has the power to declare ownership and non-ownership. They can declare that the clothing that I'm wearing does not belong to me. They can be mafkirit, and they can declare the owning the clothing that belongs to me no longer belongs to me, and hereby belongs to you. Sure. So that's the word that gave us a custom that Bezin can declare ownership and non-ownership. So where do you get this idea from? That Bezin has the right to authorize the Eidim to sign a shtar. You don't have any source for such a concept that the Bezin has the right to act as if they're the bailim on the moment, just like the bailim. Can grant the Dasa Meschayev to authorize the signing of a shtar, so to the Bezin can authorize the signing of a shtar. No, you don't have any source for that. So what's the koyach of the Bezin to write a shtar? If the Chazanish writes, no, that's self-understood, that's Eilu Klei Adayonim, it says Eilu Mishpatim, Asher Tosim Lefnei Eilu Klei Adayonim, the Torah gives the Rabbonim the authority to paskin the Dine Torah. And the Torah gives the Rabbonim the ability to enforce the Psak, that they have a right makhla ritzua to beat the people up if they don't listen, and to put the guy in prison if he doesn't want to observe the psak, and to beat him up, and so on. Shliach Bezin has a right to beat people up and to grab their money and to insult them and to curse them and so on. All of these surim are lifted. So the Chazanish writes, he thinks that this is one of the koichas, it's like klei adayon. The halacha enables the Bezin to write a shtar if they feel that it's necessary without any Dasa Meschayev. Otherwise they'll have it in Torah, and the Bezin paskens that Reuven has to pay Shimon $100 a month for the next 2 years, but the Bezin has no right to write it down because he can only write a shtar with Dasa Meschayev, and Reuven doesn't allow the Bezin to write it down. So every month Reuven is going to say, I want it in Torah. Bezin said that I'm pukta. So they're going to, every month they're going to have to go to Bezin and pester them again, and Bezin's going to tell them you got to pay. Then they'll walk out of Bezin and he says, Bezin said I don't have to pay. You never get the first base. So he says, in order to enable the Bezdin to enforce their psak, you have to give them klei adayonim. You have to give them malakal eretzua. You have to give the Bezdin the ability to write the shtar without asam uskaya. If the rov is going to have to rely on the good traces of the Das HaMeskayev, what are you going to do if the Das HaMeskayev doesn't permit the writing of a shtar? So that's ridiculous. So the Chazanish assumes, I think there's such a tshuva Chassam Sefer also, that the ability of the Beis Din to authorize the writing of a shtar without Das HaMeskayev, that's based on this pasuk of Eilu Klei HaDayonim. We had Tesis discussed that Gemara here. On Gimel Amud Aleph, there was a Taisus, the Rava Leisle de Shmuel. The Taisus said, even if the old Shnaim should don the name Din by Hados Mavoes, but Shnaim is not going to be good, not for Kiyam Ashtar. That's what they quote from Ksubit Daf Chavez. And Shnaim will not be good to say Hefke Bezna Hefke, that's from Daf Lamed, to write a Shtar. Does the Bezna have a right to authorize the writing of a Shtar without Das HaMeskayev? So the Gemara said, yeah, Bezna of three. Not a Bezna of two. I bet if Yal Shnaim Shidon the name did. So he says, no, Shnaim Shidon the name did means that Kad Nami Kosher, that means that he's not a Bezna. Means he's like a Hirosi to the Heter. But for Hefke Bezna, Hefke need a Bezna. And for Kiyam Ashtar, need a Bezna. That was the Taisus on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. They quoted this Gemara on Daf Lamed. The Daf Lamed is talking about the ability of the Bezna to ride a star without Das on the side. Okay, the Gemara had all important deal. Yeah, got a chazver. Okay, here a chesam and aleph towards the bottom, the left third of the daf. The Gemara speaks about a hazmona to an interim. You can't just have some offices of a bezdin have a secretary, man or woman, whatever. And if someone calls up the secretary and says, "I want to have an interim with so on." So the secretary just sends a hazman. So the Gemara seems to say pretty clearly, you can't do that. The secretary can't send a hazman. You have to convene a bezdin, and the bezdin authorizes the secretary to send a hazman. You can't just send a hazman because the secretary represents the bezdin. You have to convene a bezdin to be mazman to a din. To be kai for someone to come to a din is also an act of bezdin. Then the Gemara speaks about knas, that bizmanazeh we're not done in dinin knosos. Why? Because in order to be done knosos, you have to have shloshes smuchim. That for sure you need shloshes smuchim for knas. And bizmanazeh nobody has any smicha, so whenever you need smicha, bizmanazeh, you can only function based on shlichusai. Shlichusai only applies if it's a milsa de shchicha, the is bei chisar and kis. Who says? That's what it says in Baba Kama Pei Dalet. This is quoted on Gimel Amud Aleph. So in Hachayvel, the first daf in Hachayvel, second daf in Hachayvel, Bavakam daf pei dalet on the base. So the Gemara says you only say Shluch Asai and Milsa the Shchichu is bechisarin kis. Knas by definition is always lays bechisarin kis, because whenever you pay to make good for the hefsid moment, that's a definition of moment. Whenever you pay yosei mashi hizik, then it's a knas. Then it's not lays bechisarin kis. So knas, you can't be dam bizmanazeh because you need smuchim, you need shlosha smuchim for knas. We don't have any smuchim, and although we do employ shlich l'sayu from time to time, but we can't employ shlich l'sayu on knas because it's a milsa delays bechisarantis. Yeah, then the Gemara just points out that the halacha that we had on the top line on where was it? On Hey Amud Aleph, mumcha l'ram dan afili yichidi. That's by hoidos v'halvois. That doesn't apply to knas. By knas, you actually need the shloshes smuchim. We wouldn't be makel to say that a mumcha l'ram could be done. Then we moved on to the sugya of motzi shemra, famous sugya. What is motzi shemra? So there's a fundamental machlokes Rashi and the Rabbi Natam. What is the theme of the sugya? Machlokes. What in the world is the sugya talking about? Rashi says you're talking about the husband wanting to be mafsid the wife iksuba. How so? He just got married yesterday and he comes to Bezin the next morning and he says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi and he's Nemelah Siduk Subasa, as it says in Ksubas. That's the bottom Rashi on Chesam and Aleph. And he quotes the Gemara in Ksubas, Afyuda and Aleph. Since the whole Chiyuv the pedik sub is only with the rabban chacham tiknulem b'nai sisolik sub the hein heminu that hey mamim. Since the whole din is only with the rabbanon, so when they lechatchila when they instituted the takana the rabbanon of ksuba, they said if the husband comes the very next day after he just paid for a big wedding last night, the husband has to pay. So the next morning we have an umdina. It doesn't make sense that the guy's going to spend so much money last night for the wedding, and the next day he's going to tell a lie and say she was a Pesach Pasuach and he wants to get divorced. From the Mustaba that he must be telling the truth. That's what Moshe Feinstein discusses. What about Bismana said that the Kala, for many years, the Kala pays for the wedding? That the Kala pays for the wedding. So how do you have this Chazoka, Einonim Terech Besudam Afsida? Should we assume that the din no longer applies? Moshe writes a Chiddush. That you look in Shulchan Aruch, they recognize the fact that the minhag changed about who pays, and they don't say that it didn't change that the husband is not believed the next day. How come? The husband should not be believed the next day because he didn't pay for the wedding. And the chazaka, the ruba, the leisa, come on, the umdina, the psychological umdina, they don't have to recognize the masida. Doesn't apply. So Moshe comes up with a fantastic kiddush. He says that although the kala's parents pay for the chasana, but it's self understood that it's a loan. And in the event that they get divorced later, the chosen has to pay back all the expenses of the wedding. But then Ramosha says, wow. He says, wow. So if you have every so often people unfortunately are getting divorced and they're dividing their assets and they're determining who has to pay whom money. So I just said the chosen has to pay back all the money to the kala. But then Ramosha steps back and he says, you shouldn't force it down the husband's throat. You should tell him, I had a case like that, so I told the husband, after 25 years of marriage, I told the husband that Rav Moshe holds that you got to pay, the girl's parents were very wealthy, and they spent a fortune of money when this Meshuggah got married. So I said, the halacha says that you have to pay for the wedding. So he said he doesn't want to pay. He doesn't want to follow Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe writes, if the husband doesn't want to follow, so you shouldn't pressure him. But ksuba for sure he has to pay. This guy didn't want to pay ksuba. He didn't want to pay ksuba. Didn't want to pay for that. Didn't want to pay anything. But that's for sure not right. Ksuba for sure he has to pay, unless he can prove that it's the wife's fault that she was responsible for the breakup of the marriage. It's very hard to prove. Anyway, so Rashi says that's what the whole topic is in the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah puts together three cases: Onus and Mefatim Otsishema. Tosafot points out this phrase, Onus HaMefatim Otsi Shemra, appears in many other places in Mishnayos and in the Gemara. Onus HaMefatim Otsi Shemra. Onus HaMefatim, we know what it means. The man is ma'anis a single girl. He pays chamishim shekel kesa. Mefata also pays chamishim shekel kesa. Onus HaShoysa Batzitza V'loisi Eliyisho. Lo yichol d'shachu kayama mefata. It's not Shoysa Batzitza. He doesn't have to marry the girl if he doesn't want to. So Onus HaMefatim, the payment of the chamishim shekel kesa is a knas. And you put it together with Motzi Shemra. So normally, whenever you have A, B, and C, Onus HaMefatim Motzi Shemra, we know what Motzi Shemra means. Motzi Shemra means the parsha that appears in Chumash, that the husband, the Gemara interprets the pshat, that the husband bribed witnesses. You have to have witnesses who will testify later that the husband bribed these witnesses to testify falsely. The Ishta Zinsa during Erusin, and he's trying to bump off his wife. And then, before Bezin gets a chance to kill the wife for this news, for the act of news, the father succeeds in bringing witnesses who are mazim, the Edei Habal. That's very unusual. Hazama is very unusual. The whole Hazama, you know, people are in Makkis, the first part, not a very cheerful period. But the Edim should come and be mazim, imano, yisim, imakum, flon, both of his mind, sounds very far fetched that such a thing should happen. So the Gemara had a tradition that's the Pshat and the Parsha. The husband bribed the witnesses to testify falsely that his wife was Mizana and he's going to try to kill her through the Edom. And the Bezin accepts the Edom. And then another two witnesses come and they're Mazim, Edei Habal. So then the halacha says that we punish the husband of the Yisrael, so we give him Malkus. The Onshosa Mea Kesav, he pays 100 shkolin. Veloisi Eliyisha, Leuchel Shachel Kayama. A three part punishment. So that's usually what it means. Motzi Shemra. Onus HaMefatim only pays 50 shekel kesef, and Motzi Shemra pays 100 shekel kesef. So that's the Pasha Pshat. So Rashi over here says no. Over here, Onus HaMefatim means Onus HaMefatim. And Moti Shemra does mean that. Moti Shemra means that he claims that his wife was a Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, and therefore his name on the Hafsiduk Subasa. So why is it called Moti Shemra? Usually Moti Shemra means Lashon Hara is, if I say the guy is an idiot and he's a genius. If I say the guy is an idiot and he is an idiot, that's Lashon Hara. If I say the guy's an idiot and he's really a genius, that's called Moti Shemra. If it's a lie, so Moti Shemra usually means I said Lashon Hara about someone else, which is not only Lashon Hara, it's even a lie. If it's true, it's Lashon Hara. And if it's not true, then it's Moti Shemra. So Rashi learns over here, Moti Shemra doesn't mean it's a lie, it means that it's the truth. The husband is believed to come the day after the wedding. Last night he just paid for a wedding. And today, the next morning, comes and he says, Pesach Pasuch Matzasi. Because so that's called Moti Shemra. That's called Moti Shemra. That's what Rashi says. So Rabbeinu Tam has a long argument. How can that be? That's not what the word Moti Shemra means. Moti Shemra means that he said something that's not true. Not that he's nemer to say that it is true, that it's it means that it's not true. I tell him, but that's how Rashi learns. And Tosafot says, how does it fit into the Mishnah? The Mishnah is now holding Dinim Amunis B'Shloisha means Shloisha Hadyotas for Hadyotas Vavos. Then Zeil Zachavodus B'Shloisha means Shloisha Smuchim. Minus the Mafat Moti Shemra needs Shloisha Smuchim. And the Chachamim say need 23. We'll get to that soon. And Rameyu says, no, it's enough for 3 Smuchim. So Tosafot says, if it's the way Rashi learns, why do you need 3 Smuchim to be Neman L'Hafsiduk Sebosa? Tosafot says, Maisim Echol Yoim. Was Mais Mechol Yom that they had husbands come to say that Ishto Zimtzo? I don't think so. Mais Mechol Yom means, no, they mean Mais Mechol Yom that we're done on Vintara about Ksuba. The husband dies and the wife wants to collect Ksuba. The couple gets divorced and the wife wants to collect the Ksuba. So Mais Mechol Yom that we do collect Ksuba. It's not Mais Mechol Yom that the husband comes and says, Pesach Pasuch Mitzosi. But Tosafot says, we are done in Ksuba Bizman is there and we don't have any Shloshes Smuchim. So obviously Ksuba belongs to the category of Milsa D'Shchicha, this Bechisar and Kis, that you don't need Smuchim, that you say Shlich Hussai, or you don't even need Shlich Hussai, whatever the Hezbollah is. Ksuba is treated the same as Haidoros Mahavos. So how can Rashi read the Mishnah like that? Oynis HaMefata Moti Shema, Moti Shema means a Dintara on the Ksuba. First of all, it doesn't fit into the trio. Oynis HaMefata Moti Shema, it goes on Moti Shema, the Mayor Kesef. And secondly, it doesn't fit into the Mishnah. It means that you need Ramei Hod, you need Shlosha Smuchim. We don't require Smuchim. Shlosha Hadyotis can be done in Ksuba. That's why Tosafot rejects the whole Rashi. The Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's talking about real Moti Shemra. Why didn't Rashi run Pasha Pshat? Because the Rabbeinu Tam is practically impossible. He's not going to work. Rabbeinu Tam had to stand on his head. We didn't start the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has to make up a new Chiddush on the level of the Raisa in order to interpret the Gemara like this. Such a fundamental disagreement between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam as to how to teach the Pirush HaMidos and Mishnah, very wild, that Rashi points out that it's 2 days, as Tosafot points out, Tosafot points out, it's 2 days in Yerushalmi. The long Tosafot on Chesam Bay, so in the last 3 lines in the long Tosafot, Yerushalmi, Motza Rashbo, Plukta Damaroi, Ikin Meforesh, Lingin Ksuba, Ikin Meforesh, Bukuntris, Ikin Meforesh, Lingin Ksuba, Ikin Meforesh, Rabbeinu Tam. Yerushalmi has the two Pshatim in the Mishnah, where the Rab Meir and the Rabbanan by Moti Shemra are talking about Hefset Ksuba based on Heim Heminu, the Baal is never to say Pesach Pesach Mitzosi. Well, no, it's not talking about Hefset Ksuba, it's talking about Faker, the husband paying the Meir Kesef. Not that the husband is never to be Mapsed the wife, the Ksuba. So what exactly is the Machlokes here, where they need a Bezdin of 23 or it's sufficient with a Bezdin of 3? So that's what the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion. Okay, so tomorrow is Thursday, so we have different alternatives.